Thank you for tuning in to Hacks and Hobbies with your host, Junaid. We're visited by our amazing guests coming from all walks of life. We want to learn their story, their struggles, and their journey on how they got to where they are today. So stick around.
Welcome back to Hacks and Hobbies. If you missed part one with Stephen, go check it out. We traced Stephen Puri's journey from IBM to Hollywood Blockbusters and now to founding the Suka Company. In part two, we're going tactical. Stephen's going to share focus tips, productivity hacks, and mindset shifts that can help you scale your business without sacrificing your well-being. Stephen, welcome back to the show.
It is good to be back, and we have more secrets to share.
Oh my God. Great. Oh my God. I love sharing secrets, as long as they're not trade secrets, because we could be in big trouble if we were to
share. No, these are largely just about tattoos that you haven't told anyone you have.
Right.
I know.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. So tattoos are, you know, it's something that keeps me up at night, you know? Why?
I think the word personal choice would definitely be used.
I suppose it would. Well, Stephen, let's jump in, man. I'm so excited that you're back. Entrepreneurs today they're bombarded with distraction. And that's what we're trying to do over here, is to create this open loop for people to think, what are you talking about, guys? Just get to the point. But entrepreneurs today are bombarded with distractions. I was literally talking to a friend of mine and telling him, you know, we do not stand still anymore. We don't sit down and do nothing anymore. We're constantly bombarded by text messages, social media posts, email, cars honking, you know, all sorts of things. It's kind of insane. But I want to listen and I want to pay attention to this. From your work with Suka, what's the first step to reclaiming that focus?
100%. That is the easiest question you're going to ask today, and the shortest answer, which is start with intention. When you wake up in the morning, identify the one thing you can do. And if you tell yourself 6 or 10, you're lying to yourself. You're not prioritizing. What's the one thing you can do that is going to move your life forward or move your team's life forward? Do not lose sight of that, and use the best brain time you have for that. You know, we talked about chronotype and when you are good at certain things. Know that about yourself. Like for me, like 7 to 9, 7 to 10 a.m. sweet spot for deep thought. Do that. Execute your intention.
You know, I love that so much, because so many people are not spending their time with intention. They are waking up, looking at their emails, myself included, looking at the emails, looking at the social media, like, okay, what fire can I put out? Or
news, news was another one that used to get me a lot in the morning.
Right. Yeah. And I'm like, why am I wasting my energy? Because all the answers are right here already. Right. And I'm looking at this guy, and he's talking about most people not doing solitude, but you've built an application, you've built a software that helps us find that solitude, find that focus, find that way to reclaim it.
And you know, I'm passionate about this. It is the many things I've done in my life, worked on a ton of movies, built a bunch of software. This is the most meaningful thing that I've done. However, I will say this, tools are useless if you don't have intention. Mm-hmm. It is, you know, the sword lying on the ground does not cut anything. You know, the mill that doesn't get used does not grind anything to eat. You know, so if the primary thing is, you have to look at yourself in the mirror and say, I have something great inside me. Am I going to die with it still inside me?
Yeah.
The days that you're like, I don't care, I'm just going to scroll in. I want to give my life to Mark Zuckerberg or Elon Musk. Let them sell ads and give me dancing cat videos, right? You know what? Yes, you're going to end up that 80-year-old guy, girl, who never created the company you could have created, never invented the thing, never wrote the book. Sorry.
Yeah.
But when you look yourself in the eye, you go, I refuse to die with that inside me. then you need to have that intention. Say, well, what can I do today to move that forward? You know what? Today's the day I'm going to build that website to represent what I'm doing. Today's the day I'm going to create the campaign or write the email or do the thing and focus on it. And there'll be other things you have to do during your day. All of us have other things we have to do. I have to pay the bills. I have to make sure so-and-so, you know, got to school, whatever. But if you have a hack or a hobby, you know, and if you're looking to say, how do I turn this into something so successful, it becomes the main thing I do. It starts with intention. And yeah, then you can use tools. I make one. There are other beautiful tools. All I care is you use whatever you need to be great.
100%. 100%, Tuvin. And when, you know, coming from the software and photography world, people are always talking about, oh, this camera is the best, this camera is the best, or this software is the best. But what they fail to answer for themselves, what are you going to be using this camera for? Is that story being captured? Right? It doesn't matter the tool. It matters, are you telling a story that somebody's going to follow, that somebody's going to bring value into their world? Now,
whatever that tool may be, I mean, you just quoted that thing about, or made reference to, alluded to, that great quote about the best camera is the one that's in your hand, right?
In your hand.
So you don't need, oh my God, this $4,000 DSLR with this lens, blah, blah. If ultimately, I think it was Chase Jarvis who said that, or at least
Chase Jarvis, he wrote the book on that topic,
just like, use what you have. It's about the intention. You can use your, you know, my Pixel, your iPhone, whatever, to take that camera if you have that intention. I don't have to wait to get to DSLR and think that it's going to happen because of the tool.
Exactly. You're absolutely right, because the biggest struggle we all have is to getting past our own person, our own thing. So let me rephrase this. Why do most people have the problem, or how? Why do most people get focused wrong? Because I might think, okay, I just need to focus on one thing or another thing, but maybe they're getting it wrong altogether.
Why don't they is one question, and then we'll talk about the second sort of bit you brought up. So there are two things I want to highlight, and I want to be very clear. These are problems I have. I'm not saying like, oh, other people suffer from this. Square on me, which is why I spent the time to investigate it and say, well, what's going on and how do I fix it, right? So procrastination, my specific example. I would tell myself tomorrow at 9 a.m., I'm going to get going on X and Y and Z that I need to do, right? But at 9:15, I'd be returning some emails that didn't get returned the night before. I'd be 9:30 scrolling through the news just to stay on top of like what's happening. And I'd get going late. And the pain from that would not be felt at 9:30. The pain would be felt at the end of the day when Laura's like, oh, we have to go to dinner. And I'm like, I didn't finish. And do I work after dinner tonight when I'm not brain dead, or do I get up early in the morning and try and do it? Like that sort of thing, right? So that procrastination, when I dug down for myself, it very often came down to a feeling of overwhelm. There was something about getting going in the morning where it's like the inertia of like, how do I make this thing happen? Mm-hmm. And I realized part of what worked for me is having a simplified task list. Like when I start in Suka in the morning, I can have 17 things that I need to do, but there are only three that are visible. As soon as I hit play, and we give you those little tools to get into a flow state. The music plays, your distractions are blocked, all that kind of fun stuff, right?
Yeah.
My task list is hidden except for the three things I should focus on. And suddenly it's not daunting anymore. I was like, oh, I can totally bang this out. You bang one or two out, you have some momentum, you feel good. It's great. So that is number one, I would say, answer to your question. Number two is distraction, which is when you're working, there is that, oh, well, I could pick up my phone right now. It's zero effort dopamine, just sitting there by my left hand, right? I could go on that website because I watched this video about something I maybe need to do. Oh, there's a React component. I want to watch that video from that blue collar engineer, you know, about a coder. And then as soon as I'm done, YouTube's recommendation engine is super good. And it goes, oh, Puri's here. Show him an A380 video he could watch. He loves planes, you know? And then I'm like, oh, I could watch that for 4 minutes. You know, and you're just gone. It's a slippery slope. With that, we did a simple thing, which is when I start my session, little QR code pops up. You know, the music begins, a QR code arrives. I can tap it with my phone. I put my phone down. If during my focus session, I touch my phone, my smart assistant just says to me, "Steven, is your phone helping you?" And that gives me 1 second to think, who do I want to be? Do I want to be the guy who's done during the day? Or do I want to be the grumpy guy at dinner who's like, I have to go because I have to go finish working? And that's enough for me to snap back and go, you know what? I'm not going to give my life over to Mark or Elon or whatever. I want to do something with my life. I want to, you know, I'm creating a company. That's really important to me. Same thing with websites. You know, I declare a list in Suka of the websites that distract me. I know my list probably different than yours, different than other people's. But during the day, if I hit something that was hard, it was frustrating, the build's not working, I keep getting these errors, the blog post I'm writing kind of sucks, I know it sucks, I don't have the inspiration to fix it, I would seek out dopamine. Oh, let me open Amazon, let me open CNN, let me open, you know, YouTube. Those are more my distractions. I know for other people, it's ESPN.com or it's NFL.com or things like that. And we just created a little pop-up, free Chrome extension install. Just pops up when I say these 10 websites, that's where I waste my time. Pop-up says, "Hey, Steven, looks like, you know, Facebook is not helping you." And then I get that 1 second to go, who do I want to be? And I can close it or not, or I can waste my time. But you get to choose. And that, I think, is like that thing of like problem solution, where you need those to fit together like Lego blocks and be as simple as possible.
Dude, that's number one. It's like what you just explained is, and sure, people listening here are probably going to resonate. It's like, hey, that's me, right?
You're all in it together, man.
We're all in it together. I'm like, oh my God, I didn't do that work. Should I bring my laptop up to my bedroom and then I might have the laptop open and I'm watching TV at the same time? Like, what am I trying to do? Like, where's the focus going, right? And so I love that you've got that thing built in the software, because you want to be more intentional. You want to be more present and aware of, hey, you're working on this task. Let's just get it done. And then, you know, you can have all the fun at later without feeling the guilt of not getting it done.
You said something I would love to hang a lantern on, where you said, oh, I'm taking my laptop to the bedroom. Huge mistake I would make. When I started running distributed teams and working from home and my, you know, buddies working from home, in the morning, I'd be in the kitchen. You know, after breakfast, I'd have my laptop. I'd work from the kitchen, beautiful light. Later, I'd come up to my office here, work from here. Afternoon, you know, maybe go down to the sofa in the living room. It was a really poor choice, and I'll tell you why. I thought back on really high performers that I knew, and they had a great way of using place. They would train their minds to drop into, oh, this, I just walked into this room. This is where I do this thing. Like with Roland and Dean, they had a villa where they would write for the road Independence Day. It was so important when they bought the villa just to have it to write.
Yeah.
Alex and Bob, like they would go to the Universal Hilton to write. And there was a thing about being in there that evoked a, oh, this is the room where I do X. And it's destroyed. Like you said, when you're like, well, I'm sort of in the living room watching TV, but kind of on my laptop, or I bring my laptop to bed, or I get huge mistake that I used to make. And now when I walk in this room, I'm like, okay, I am here for a reason. And when I leave, I feel liberated. It's just like, I did my work. I feel great. Let's go.
Man, I love that. Now, you mentioned a whole lot about dopamine hits, and you know, we all love that. I'm playing a video, playing a game on my phone.
As we speak, you're playing something like
my game. Not right now, but over time, right? It's called Eat Venture. Like, I have Duolingo because I'm learning a language. And
that's so, what are you learning?
I'm learning Arabic.
That's awesome.
So I'm relearning Arabic. I'll do a little bit of Spanish. And then I was like, you know, they have English there in there too. So I'm learning English too. And that's the fastest.
Congratulations.
That's the fastest one. vocabulary, right? It's so important. But what's interesting is that as we distract our minds, or we get these dopamine hits because you passed a level, you like something or something. How does that tie into both performance and happiness? Because we do want that dopamine hit when we get our work done, but it's a much longer, like, draw out of the dopamine hit. Does that make sense?
It does. And here's the thing is, there is actually a really good Huberman episode about zero effort dopamine. We're the generation that now you can get that dopamine release without having to do the thing. You don't have to write the book or give the speech or do whatever it is, score the gold. But you're like, oh man, I'm great at this. And people are giving you adulation. Like, you can sit on your ass on the sofa and just get dopamine delivered to you. Just keep your thumb moving, right? Mm. And wow, that is powerful. Like, as it changes in how the world works. You know, maybe if you think about like the people whom you admire, when you go, man, I don't know, whatever sport or engineering or whatever, you know, vertical, you know, you aspire to be great in, there's some role model there where you're like, if I could just be that way, right? Do you think that they were faced with, well, you know, you do this to achieve, maybe you get some dopamine, you feel proud of what you've done, you feel like you've changed the world, you've done something meaningful. Or what if we could just hook you up to an IV drip of dopamine? You know what I mean? Like, they didn't have to deal with that. And that's what we have now. And I certainly hope you have children. I'm about to have a child.
Yeah.
I've said this before and I'll say it again. I hope my kids' generation, your kids' generation, looks at our generation on social media the way we look at our parents. And we're like, how could you guys smoke? Y'all died of lung cancer. You paid money to die of lung cancer, have emphysema. How can you do it? And they're like, well, you know, the movie stars did it and it was really cool. And James Dean did it. And, you know, the tobacco companies funded research that was healthy. And I was like, you substitute Facebook for a tobacco company. And you're like, there you go. You know? So I sure hope they sort of go like, man, you wasted a generation with the social media thing you invented.
Yeah. You're absolutely right. You know, there's so many truths in the statement in the conversation we're having that right now is, you know, where do you want to put the focus in? Where do you want to drive or extract value from? And that's what, you know, they're really good at setting up these systems, social media. They've set up these systems to extract value from us. Mm-hmm. So the software that you're building helps you take back control, right? Take up back control. How do you take value and keep it?
Yeah. If you were to say to someone this blunt statement, Mark Zuckerberg's going to call you tomorrow and he's going to say, can I have your life? Because I'm going to sell it to these advertisers. I will keep the money.
Yeah.
But I'll give you dancing cat videos. You would seem like an idiot to say yes to that. Yet that is exactly what is
happening.
That's
exactly what's happening.
So how do you protect yourself? What are the tools you have to sort of not pick up the phone? Go, actually, man, you know what? I have something I want to do with my life.
Mm-hmm.
Hard.
So true. It's very hard. And the reason why it's hard is, again, the effort that it takes, right? Mm-hmm. I saw a photo today where there's all these people on the beach watching a surfer riding a wave. And then there's two texts on top of each of one of them. The people standing and watching, they're the dreamers. And the person who's surfing is the doer.
Yeah.
So I asked the question, it's easy to be a dreamer because low effort.
Correct.
But to be the doer takes a lot more effort, a lot more energy, a lot more everything. So how do we convert and be the doer and not the dreamer?
Yeah, and your audience, people listening right now, if you're here and you've been following this pod, like, I have to believe that you have a belief in yourself. Like, you could be spending your time not listening to this, doing any of a billion other things, but you're here because you have something you think you could do. And maybe it's your hobby, maybe it's your hack, maybe it becomes your full-time thing, maybe it's your side hustle that you want to grow to the thing. But there's a binary thing. Do it. You may fail, but do it. Or just don't do it. And you know, the don't do it path is it's valid. You can do it. A lot of people do. Like you said, most are on the shore watching. But man, when you've gotten that taste of being on the board and you're like in the curl and it's amazing, like it's hard to sit again on the shore and just watch other people.
But you know, I could be wrong too, because maybe that's overgeneralized of dreamers, because they actually spend the time to go out there to watch on the beach. I think dreamers are probably sitting at home watching the surfer on TV as opposed to being out there in the sun, because maybe they're
just watching clips on TikTok and Instagram.
Well, Stephen, let's get practical. What are your top three daily techniques for staying productive and balanced?
Boom. Here you go. Okay. Number one, we talked about, start your day with an intention. Today, the thing that will move me forward or move my team forward is X. If you have to write it on an index card, do it. Put it on your laptop. Two, block out time. Treat that time as sacred. It's a meeting with yourself. When you are going to go and do the deep work, be in flow, be in the zone, be whatever, do the kind of thinking that moves you forward, that executes on your intention. It's not that 17 minutes in between Zooms when you return a couple slacks. There is no prize for that. You know? So number two is block out the time. Treat it as a meeting with yourself and put it in your calendar so no one can book over it. I do that. Like from 9 to 11, there's a reason you and I are talking right now, because from 9 to 11, no one can book time with me. That is me figuring out what it is I need to do to put myself forward, put my company forward, right? And I'd say the third one is time box, which sounds ridiculous. When it was first described to me, I was like, what? How can you just say, well, that should take 45 minutes. That should take an hour and 15. They kind of all sprawl. And it's true. Parkinson's law. Tasks expand to fill whatever time you give them. So when you say, you know what, I need to write this blog post in 45 minutes, it's kind of weird the way you do.
Yeah.
So those intention, time block, time box. Try those three. That's it. There are more things you can do. I would say if you want three, those
start.
Are three.
Start with the three. Start with the easiest. And I love that, you know, time blocking is something that I already do, right? I block my time out. Hey, I'm going to talk to Stephen at this time. I'm going to send an email at this time. It's still much harder for me to, you know, be accountable to my own time for myself. I'm like, oh, it's my time. I could probably fit in another meeting. But it takes a lot of effort, and it takes a lot of thinking. So I'm working towards it. And I love the time boxing, because you're like, hey, I've got 30 minutes. I'm going to do this task, and then I got to go pick up the kids or whatever.
So yes. In your case, pick up the kids. In my case, next year, pick up the kids.
Next year, pick up the kids. Well, next year, he'll still be home.
I have a little time.
But in time. You're absolutely right. Makes so much sense. I love those three tips. Now, how do you integrate these with tech like Suka?
We built Suka on this foundation. Like, I'm not that smart. I designed Suka based upon what the smart people had hypothesized, tested, researched, and proven. So music that you get in Suka, like, it helps you get into flow. It helps you stay there. Every time you create a task, there's a time associated with it so that you time box. You know, when you're doing Pomodoros, which is, by the way, for those who don't know, Pomodoro is a method of working where you take regular breaks. So it begins with 25 minutes of work, 5 minute break, and you repeat that cycle. And then every couple hours, you take a longer break. And you can customize that. Like even in Suka, you can set it to whatever you want. But the idea is your brain actually works better. There's research that shows like your brain glucose level, like brain fuel, does get depleted after a certain amount of time, and you need to replenish it in some way, or just go for a walk, go downstairs, get a glass of water. Don't grind it out, because it's diminishing returns. The quality of your work after 120 minutes is distinctly different than the work you were doing 60 minutes in. So a lot of what we do with Suka is just say, how can we give you the best music, the best task management that's simple, it shows you your progress. Have, the sort of support of a community, because that's been shown to be so powerful. When I was considering, we had a single player mm-hmm. version of this, where it was just, you were in there with distractions blocked, your phone blocked, tasks, you have a productivity graph, you can see how you're doing it. It was all alone. And I, as the founder, talked to a ton of members, hundreds of members, and I knew all of them, but none of them knew each other. There's no sense of anyone else. And I thought, you know what? Everyone here is trying to do something, like your community. They're all trying to do something.
Yeah.
How do you allow them to see each other? So I had this idea. What if we had like a group chat where people could share what they're working on? Oh, I wrote a blog post. Post it. Let's all read it. I'm working on this. Does anyone know that? Right. So I asked a couple of members. I was like, I was thinking of launching this. Is this the stupidest idea ever? Is this going to destroy the focus? Is this going to become a social media chat app? Distracting. And I'll tell you, there's one member I spoke to. She's still in there. And when I talked to her, she said this. It was so clear to her. She's like, Stephen, I can go down to the Nike store and they will sell me a pair of shoes, a left shoe and a right shoe. I put them on my feet. I go run. It works great. There are 100 million people who belong to the Nike Run Club, because when you run together, you run faster, you run further, you're more accountable. The days that you suck and you don't want to get off the sofa or whatever, get out of bed, and your friends come by and they're like, come on, Jay, let's do this. Like, you get up and you do it and you feel great. And you're glad they came by. And the days you do that for someone else feel even better. She's like, you should absolutely do that. Can I tell you, it's one of my favorite things about the app now. In the morning, I love opening it up and just seeing who wrote a blog post and posted about it, who finished what, who's chatting about what, or even who's just debating a bug. Hey, man, I think we found a bug in your plan. It's like, oh, thanks. But that sense of like, here are all these people who are trying to do something with their lives. That's cool. It's like being in a run club. You run better.
You're absolutely right about the power of community, about the power of bringing people together, because you're all on the same task. You're all in class to learn the same subject. Yep. It just brings it better together. And I wouldn't have ridden so many miles on my bike if I hadn't joined a cycling team.
There you go.
Right. Every week they're like, hey, we're doing a bike ride at this time, commute us over here, and boom. With that, because we are at 25 minutes, let me pause for a minute. I'll be right back. I gotta put my daughter. Run clubs, communities all help us get to the space that we want to get to, the goal that we want to get to. Let's switch gears, Stephen. Building faster with focus. Now, many of our listeners are entrepreneurs. How can mastering focus help them scale their business faster?
The entire premise that launched Mihaly Csikszentmihalyi's research was that these high performers, the ones whose names we know, they have a way of accessing concentrated states where they do things that are greater than normal and they do them faster than normal. And that's flow states. So that is what, I mean, you're giving a softball right down the middle for me, because I'm a huge fan of that experience. And if you have not been in a flow state, it's an amazing thing when you first experience it. When you look up, you go, wow, I wasn't thinking about going to the bathroom or going to get something to eat or looking at the clock, and my work is done. And I think it was good. It's a high quality work and it's faster than I thought. And then once you've done that, you go, well, why would I work another way? How do I replicate that feeling? And that to me is it. I mean, part of being an entrepreneur though is interactive stuff. It is Zooms and meetings and pitching investors and all that.
Yeah.
I'm not the guy here going to speak about the best way to pitch an investor. Like, there are so many smart people who've done that. But I am the guy to say, when you're going to do the work that moves your life forward, it's pretty clear what the conditions precedent are to get into a flow state around blocking distractions, having something meaningful to do, certain kinds of music, whatever that may be that works for you. And just do that, life's short.
Yeah, it is. It absolutely is. And when you mentioned music, I'm all about music. Like, when I am doing my focus work and that I used to do back in the days, I would have my music blasting and I would do my work without stopping, because it kept me, it kept my mind engaged. I've never called myself an ADHD mind, but maybe I haven't. But it kept that part of my brain active while I get the work done. Now,
and InSync is very inspiring.
Yes, it is. InSync is very inspiring. In fact, they were the first band that I went and saw, their concert back in 1999.
And you know, somewhere Justin Timberlake is saying, "The first time I saw Junaid at my concert."
It's probably true.
Yeah, it touched probably him true. Too.
Yeah, I'll probably send him a message. We'll talk about focusing, and he's got like, as an artist, right? You need a ton of focus to be able to create that. Now, yeah. I know Steven, you don't have any kids,
yet. So I will yet. Soon.
Yeah, you're gonna have kids soon. And I want to check in with you probably in a year. I'm like, hey, how's your focus going?
I hope to have great stories for you then.
Oh my God, it's gonna be fun. Because hey, this is my daily life, right? I've got the kids at home. Somebody needs to jump into class. They haven't jumped in class. I'm recording a conversation and I get called and messages, dude, what's going on? Right. I texted my son, like, hey, get your sister on the class, and then I'm going to calls. But as leaders, right, we try to create this focus for ourselves, but how do you then model that focus for our teams as well?
It is about creating the conditions precedent that allow people to do great things.
So like tons of meetings throughout the day, right?
Yeah, no, but you nailed it. This is the thing, is like, if you view your role as a leader,
yeah,
to release the great things inside your team, right? If you want to micromanage them and hold their pen while they write, I mean, God bless. I don't want to work for you, and no. I hope you find people who do. But if you are saying, man, I believe that the people here, I'm honored to be the one that is going to help them do the thing of which they're capable, that will be impressive to them. Like, this is something I did, and I'm proud of it, you know, yeah. As well as changed the course of our company. So yeah, it is like you said, you can't expect people to do deep work if you're booking meetings every hour on the hour, and then in between in the 14 minutes, it's like, please do something great. Okay, we have another Zoom coming up, you know? So you do need to say, how do we create the conditions that allow for that? And you and I have talked about creativity in that sense of, hey, if you want to nurture creativity, understand how it works. Like, people are rarely creative when they just have one thing to focus on. There's something about the executive default mode sort of networks where you have to understand to do that kind of creativity, which is different than focusing on a spreadsheet. I must correct the spreadsheet. Yeah, that should be monotasking. But when you're actually trying to creatively work something out, sometimes it's great to toggle between two different things, because that default mode, that back of your mind child, comes up with the weird thing that would not have occurred if you were just staring at the creative problem.
Yeah.
If you want to lead creative teams, you need to know stuff like that. And there are brilliant people have written about this. I mean, God knows how many times people have quoted, Pressfield and, the war of art and stuff like that. Anyway, back to you. I know we're almost done with time, so I will be succinct.
I love it. Well, Steven, this has been a ton of fun. What's one simple shift someone can make today that will pay dividends over the next year outside of signing up for the Sukkah?
Oh, that is very sweet to say. I'm going to stick to my guns. It is wake up and know your intention. Be intentional. This is the most important thing I could do to move my hobby, my hack, my side hustle, my team forward, my life forward. And don't start the day until you know that. Don't just dive into returning emails and like stop and go, what is the thing? Make sure you do that.
Steven, thank you so much.
This is awesome.
Yeah, this is a lot of fun. We had a ton of fun conversations. There's going to be an ongoing slew of conversation for the next few weeks, and then continuing to build this relationship and friendship with you because I've had a blast.
Me too.
Recording this conversation awesome. With you. These were great. Again, thank you for making focus simple and actionable. Not just another productivity theory, but something real we can use on a daily basis. I was actually telling my son when I was dropping them off at school in the morning, like, hey, how about we get up at 5:30 in the morning and go to the gym? Because we have the gym membership, but we haven't gone yet, and he's been wanting to go. Like, how about we do that from 6 a.m. to 7 a.m.? We can come home, you can get ready for school, and I can drop you off. Are you willing to wake up at 5:30 in the morning? So tomorrow will be the test of all of that. See how it goes.
I am hoping for great stories. I'll be checking my email.
Absolutely. Steven, where can people go to connect with you and try out Suka for themselves?
Easiest answer is two-part. One, if there is anything that I've said that someone wants to know more about, it does not have to be about the app that I created, the website. Who's that Hungarian guy? Who's near? Who's clear? Who's, you know, press, whatever. I am happy. I want you to do something great. So if I can help, drop me an email. Hey, man, what should I read about deep work, about time boxing, about time blocking, whatever. I will reply to you within 24 hours, unless I'm sick or traveling.
Perfect.
And it'll be a short response. Like, I'm not going to write you the history of my life, nor do you want to read it, but it will be, hey, here's a great link from Cal Newport's blog or something, right? So there's that. And if someone wants to try getting into a flow state, like, hey, maybe this is for me. It's what we built. And it's free for 7 days, no credit card, no funny business. You don't have to cancel and not be billed. You can try it for 7 days as much as you want, 168 hours in a row if you want. Nice. And it's at thesukha, thesukha.co. Sign up, have something you want to do, and just block out an hour or two to do it. And my email address is steven@thesukha.co, obviously. Perfect. And on that note, thank you everyone who's still listening. And I hope you do something great that would make both Junaid and me really proud.
Amen. Steven, thank you so much again. And guys, you heard it. Focus isn't about doing more. It's about doing what matters. Take one of Steven's strategies today, put it into practice. Check out Suka or send him an email if you have any questions. Thanks so much again. Steven, appreciate you. All right, guys, this is Junaid signing off from Hacks and Hobbies. Until next time, stay focused, stay creative, and keep hacking your passions. Check out the links in the show notes, and we'll see you in the next episode. Thanks, guys. Did I finish?
That was super cool.
Congratulations, you made it to the end of the episode. Thanks so much for listening to our guest on this episode. Please send me an email at Junaid@hacksandhobbies.com to tell me what you loved about our guest today. You could find links mentioned in this episode on the hacksandhobbies.com website.